The Fear, Los Lobos, covering the Shins, 98.1 KZE. I'm Rick, your host of the Up and Running Morning Show, and joining us each and every month, the founder of Living with Inner Elegance, Caroline Phipps, joins us. Good morning, Caroline.
Hey, good morning, Rick. How are you?
I'm doing mighty fine. How are you?
Yeah, you're sounding mighty fine. Rolling out red carpets, talking about snow at the end of March. You've got all the bases covered.
Got everything going on. Meanwhile, just having all kinds of crises, but rising above. But that's besides the point. We are here to talk about fear. And, well, there's a bunch of things I fear, like change.
We are the generation that are dealing with technology that can be really challenging and make us very afraid.
Yeah, yeah. I'm using all of my real intelligence and doing the best I can.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this fear that we're feeling, because studies are showing that we are more fearful than we've ever been, and yet we have all these clever things in place to help us to keep safe. We've got, you know, multiple things that are going to help, you know, technologically and medically and all sorts of other things that are designed. We have legislation to keep us safe. And yet there is a sense of we're becoming, and it's almost, I think, happened particularly since we all went through the pandemic.
Yeah.
Where you remember that the world shut down and everybody was, oh boy, this is really scary.
Yeah, well, right in the beginning when we didn't know better, we kind of all gasped and freaked out. Like, oh man, we're going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of that, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And of course, you know, there is the collective memory about terrible pandemics, you know, from the past that wiped out so many people.
Yeah.
And it feels to me today that we are getting information so fast. We are bombarded with news and information around the globe, and we're bombarded by social media. And there's this incredibly complicated mixture of information that we are getting. And when you think back, even sort of 20 years, we would have watched the news and have an idea about the headlines. But now we get intricate stories of people in peril around the globe from all over the place. And once you've seen a post like that or read a story or seen a photograph, you don't forget it. You know, human beings are incredibly good at seeing something and then sort of grasping onto it. And all of these things can create a fear response in us.
And I truly think that most news is designed to focus on our fears. And what we see on TV news, like your news at 6 o'clock, is, well, fire trucks crashing into airplanes and all kinds of war and things that you don't really want to see and you can't shake from your memory.
Yeah, that's right. Once you've seen something, you can't unsee it, as they say.
Yeah.
So we're in this really complicated place where we need to be very aware of the things that are going on that can impact us and that we can help to make a difference with. But I think now we are so swamped. And of course, frightening people is a way of controlling people. It's a way of selling us something. You know, yeah. We need to take this medication because if we don't, we're going to get that problem. We need to have alarms everywhere because somebody is going to break in. We need to have this attached to our car because something will happen when we're traveling. There's an awful lot of money and influence to be made in frightening us.
Yeah. Airport facial recognition. It's kind of freaky.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's a wild ride that we're on. And I think one of the issues is that our fear, this incredible survival mechanism, was from a time when most of the problems we were going to come up upon were physical. Mm. You were going to need to go into battle. You were going to have to fight somebody for the food over there. You were going mm-hmm. to have to remove somebody from your village or your cave over there.
Or even,
somebody was posing a threat. You know?
Yeah. Or as simple as, oh, a bear.
Right, exactly. Yes. Because back then we were less of a dominant species and there were all sorts of other wonderful creatures on this planet who were like, wait a minute now, this is my place too.
Yeah.
And so we have these fears, and they create this physiological change in our body that is really impossible to ignore. Your pupils dilate, your breathing speeds up. And you know that flood of adrenaline that you get that sort of shocks through your feet and your hands?
Yeah. Ends up right in your heart.
Yeah.
It's
such a shocking thing. And anybody who's had a car accident, you know, or a near accident or whatever, you have this flood. And it comes from our more ancient physicality, where we needed these biological mechanisms that would help us to deal with whatever it was physically. We would be able to run like the wind and jump over a stone wall or stand and hold our ground and you know, fight whatever it was.
Mm. Yeah, I watched a little video of, 50-something-year-old mom lift a 3,000-pound car off her son, and somebody pulled him out.
I saw that too, yes.
How incredible. And, you know, that's fear and your superhuman ability to overcome it all at once.
Yeah. So it's this incredible superpower that we have that keeps us safe. And, you know, if you're, let's just say you're up on a clifftop, you know, and your fear kicks in, I'm not going to get too close to the edge.
Yeah.
Well, that's great because it is designed for that purpose, to help us, you know, to escape, to be aware, to step back, you know, all of these different things. And then all of these biological responses, bring them into today. And let's just say you're sitting there doom scrolling your phone and you see something that really frightens you. You know, maybe it's a medication or something that's got one of those particularly sort of alarming aspects to it. And you look at it and you get a flood of adrenaline thinking, wow, maybe I have that.
Yeah, or I can't believe how many side effects are on this drug. I would never take that.
Yeah. Or, oh my gosh, I am taking it and now look at the side effects. I'm sure I'm feeling that right now.
Yeah, blue skin, could happen. Yeah, well, you know, that is part of the doctor weighs out whether the fear or how bad the medication is over what it'll do for you, the good.
Yeah. So the whole thing can get really, really alarming. And this is all happening at a time when we need to be as brave and courageous as possible to keep on a really great path of helping one another, connecting, doing, you know, you see people online doing magnificent things all the time. And mm-hmm. generally speaking, they have overcome their fears. Mm. It's not that people, I mean, everybody experiences fear.
Yeah.
But to be able to face your fear is a really courageous thing.
Mm. It is. And
you know,
it's,
our fears develop early in life. You know, you're a dad. You know
yeah.
that children can become fearful very early in life.
Mm-hmm. And it's a job as a parental unit to keep them safe at all costs, no matter what, and fed, etc. Every parent knows what their responsibilities are, but there is the kids develop fear early, and you have to quell the fear and not show them that you're frightened of things all at the same time when we're only human.
Yes, yeah, and we are only human, and these responses, you know, we can take them from childhood into adulthood. Mm. When I was growing up in England on the farm, you know, the farmhouse, there's this thing called the giant English spider, which sounds unbelievably huge and terrifying, and to a four-year-old with brothers who want to scare you with it, because it's fun to do
yeah.
that with your little sister. We were always playing jokes on one another. I've had a fear of spiders ever since, even
yeah.
though my mum used to say, this spider is going to do nothing but good in the house because they eat insects and they don't hurt human beings. Was I going to take in that rational message? No. And I take that with me to this day.
Yeah, well, I'm a grown adult of my age and I see a spider and I go, ah!
I know,
you get a fear response. It's like big, hairy, and ugly. You don't expect it. The little one's no problem. But when you see one that's like 2-3 inches and it's crawling on your living room floor, how did it get here? Where did it come from? What's it doing? And then you have to decide how to eradicate it. Do I safely get it outside even though it's 3 inches? And the fear develops and grows.
Yeah, yeah, it does. You sort of even get to the point where you think, maybe I should call the emergency services, because right now I'm standing on a chair in my living room and I'm frozen in place.
Yeah, well, that's when the handy vacuum cleaner comes out.
Oh, my.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, exactly, exactly. Then you've got to empty the bag, but we
no,
won't
no,
go
say
there.
No more. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. So here are some of the things that happen to us when we get flooded with all these biological responses, and because generally speaking, we're not lifting up, you know, cars to rescue people
yeah.
trapped underneath or running away from a, you know, some kind of wild animal that's after us.
Mm.
There are some ways that fear manifests with us.
Mm.
And one of the first ways is that we freeze.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just freeze. We don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And in today's world, that shows up in multiple ways.
Mm.
We can be the kind of person who procrastinates because we're so afraid to do anything that we do nothing.
I'm a card-carrying procrastinator.
We're frozen, yeah.
Mm.
So maybe you're sitting in a meeting. You got very afraid about where the conversation's going. that you may have to step up to the plate and come up with something, and you can't think of anything.
Mm.
So you just sit there absolutely glum, and you know you should speak, and you can't, and you're frozen, and everybody's looking to you.
Mm.
And, you know, it's a terrible feeling. It's a terrible feeling, and it's frozen you in place when other people are expecting you to come up with something.
Yeah.
And then there's the next thing that people do is that they might be in a situation where they go into a sort of fawning mode, where they, we go along to get along because we're afraid of the consequences. Mm. You know, we're afraid we're going to be rejected, or there's going to be a conflict, or we're going to be abandoned. And what happens is that we can often have our integrity impacted because we go along with stuff to keep safe. Mm. And then that has a negative effect on our well-being.
Yeah, I see that.
You know, the whole idea of loyalty at all costs. I mean, loyalty is a you know, in and of itself, a fine thing. But when you're compromising yourself or not caring for yourself, that kind of loyalty and fawning around something that you know doesn't align with your value, that's a bad place to get yourself into. And then it only becomes more fearful as you go.
So I'm finding out that I'm a card-carrying procrastinator and I'm a rule breaker.
Yes, you are a rule breaker. And we're very glad about that. So then the next thing we might do is we might flee. You know, it's the runaway from the wild animal or the bad person who's coming after us. And in today's society, that tends to manifest in people become isolated and locked away, and they don't want anything to do with anybody else because they have a deep fear and distrust of everyone. Mm. And the other way that shows up is that we become addicted to substances to try to, you know, escape how we feel. And that's a big one too. And you know, we all like to, I don't know, whatever your thing is, you eat your bucket of ice cream or you drink your glass of wine and you watch 8 different episodes of your favorite Netflix series.
Yeah.
And before you know where you are, you've kind of escaped, you've fled, and maybe you haven't done all of the things that you needed to have done that particular evening for your own well-being.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, fear has a lot of different consequences. And the final sort of major fear response is fight.
Mm.
And this shows up in multiple ways too, because, you know, obviously sometimes physically, often verbally, and there are taken to extremes, people will become the aggressor just so that they don't become the victim. They want to be the provocateur first so that they are the one in front of being a victim. And that can be really tough to cope with. And then another way that the fight shows up is that you make excuses and you point a finger at somebody else and say, not my fault, your fault.
Mm.
So that's a modern version of fighting.
Mm. Yeah.
So we may not be rolling up our sleeves and, you know, getting into a fist fight, but there are many other ways that we fight.
Well, how can we not let fear run our lives?
Well, the thing is, I think, to, as best possible, understand what it is that's scaring you.
Mm.
There's an interesting exercise you can do where you list what scares you, and then you try to sit with that a little bit and work out what it is in you that is bringing out. What are your insecurities? Where is your lack of confidence? And really, I think we need to stop the doom scrolling. we need to surround ourselves with as much inspiration and inspirational people as possible.
Mm. Yeah.
When we go through our list of fears, once you've listed your fears as honestly as you can and genuinely why that particular thing is scaring you, then look at what would be a first, however modest step it is, towards facing your fear. Because if we don't step into facing our fears, as Martin Luther King once so famously said, if we lose our capacity to be fearful, we're going to lose our capacity to grow. So stepping into it and making a small step, maybe it's making one phone call, communicating with something, signing up for something, going somewhere that you would normally, you know, be scared to death to go and do. Just one small step. Don't overwhelm yourself. Because the beautiful thing about one small step is that once you take it, it makes it easier to take the next step. And that's how we build up resilience and courage. And these things build on themselves. Mm-hmm. And then you start to become less afraid and more able to take things on.
There you go.
The kind of antithesis at the moment to what we're being told, which is be afraid, be afraid, be afraid.
Mm. Well, you always have
what
to.
What fear does?
Yeah.
What fear does is limit our lives. So, however much fear we have is defining the limitations of what we're doing, and all of that potential gets lost. Mm. We all have so much potential, all these unique gifts, ways that we can reach out and help one another. But being afraid often stops all of that. And I think stepping into this, and don't give yourself a big job around this, take it incrementally. And it's sort of like having, you know, savings in the bank. They will build, it will build on itself. And you'll become more resilient and more able to take on things. And then you could not only help yourself, you help other people too.
Mm-hmm. And always take a risk, even if it comes down to romance, and take it and ask her out or ask him out. And you never know what'll happen or come of it if you don't find out and ask. Caroline.
Yeah, and it would be awful.
Yeah.
You know, to not do that.
Yeah,
and studies show that over 85% of what we worry about never, ever, ever happens. And when things do happen, we usually manage way better than we ever dreamed we would.
That's it. So ask the most amazing looking person you've ever seen out and see what happens.
Yeah. Give it a go.
Yeah.
I mean, what did they say? Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
There you go.
True.
Caroline, thank you so much for being part of the Up and Running Morning Show. How can folks get in touch with you? And I know that you offer listeners a free consultation. One of the folks who email you will have an opportunity to, well, be get help from you for whatever they need. So what is the best way they can get in touch?
Send me an email, caroline@carolinefitz.com. I love hearing from people, and it's great to be connecting in this way. And then visit my website, carolinefitz.com, where you will find articles and podcasts and videos, and Rick, our wonderful archive, which is streaming on all sorts of podcast platforms, and has many people listening in all sorts of amazing places.
Wow.
At the moment, after the United States, Japanese are definitely tuning in to hear us.
Who is?
Such an honor.
There was a break there.
The Japanese.
No kidding.
Yeah, they're sort of number two on our list of statistics. So
wow.
Spread the love.
Wow, we're big in Japan. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Where are we number one, Caroline?
Here in the United States, Rick.
Okay.
The up and running morning show man here in the United States.
All right. Caroline Phipps, our monthly guest, Caroline at carolinephipps.com. Send her an email. Check out the website, carolinephipps.com. Caroline, all the best to you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. And you.
Thank you. This is the Up and Running Morning Show, 98.1 KZE.